natural order of things.
Destroyed a girl called Alita.
I do not stand by in the presence of evil.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon, sponsored by ExpressVPN and Calm, the number one app to help you sleep, meditate, and relax. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. I'd like to remind you the Subbeacon is available on iTunes and Google Play. Just look at a podcast and search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Happy Thursday, gentlemen.
Yes, we're taping on
Happy
Thursday.
Hey, boys. It's funny. I feel like I just saw you here. JVL, you survived.
I made it.
You survived.
10 days alone with my children.
What was the final tally on all the things? You had a running thing on Twitter.
You did.
It was kind of funny.
Sit reps.
What was it?
So the over-under on Legos, the line was set at $1,500. Gentlemen, did you have the over or the under?
I had the under because under. That strikes me as extravagant. Yeah.
So this wound up as the ultimate bad beat. So we started out as a very low-scoring affair. We got to midway through having spent $0, maybe like 6 days in, 3 days in, four days in with having spent $0 on Legos. And then it's like, you know, you get the over-under on a game is 50, and you get to halftime, and the score is 3-0. And you're like, yeah, I'm cashing my check. But then the second half starts, and the teams trade and score five consecutive touchdowns. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, God, it's now 38 points. This is really close. And that's what we got for, like, days 5, 6, 7. And then we had the snow day.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, that under was disappearing. You could see it receding over the horizon. You thought, oh, no, oh, no.
And how did you get out to buy more Legos?
So we drove to the Lego store.
You risked life and limb to drive to Tyson's?
The Potomac Mills is small. Yeah. It was a bigger risk to stay in our house without Legos,
okay.
I think.
All right.
To everybody's well-being.
Sure. You got a big enough car. You can fit everybody. That's fine.
And so we get to the mall, and we go inside the mall. And the Lego store is closed.
Whoa!
So the mall was open.
The mall was open.
But the store
itself. The stores inside the mall were closed.
All of the stores?
Because nobody would make it in.
Except for you.
What?
What's the point of even having an open mall?
What is the point of having the state of Virginia?
What's the point of having commerce?
It was two snow days.
Yeah.
Or anyway,
yeah,
so
I know.
It was icy.
We were that under was gone. We were prepared to walk in there and drop $700 on Legos. Bam. We already had the sets picked out. We were ready to go. We knew that school was almost certainly going to be canceled the next day, too. So we needed like 20 hours worth of Lego building activity time. And I was willing to pay for it. And anybody who had the over, suddenly, after thinking they were dead, they were alive. And the bad beat of it's like, you know, all you need is the extra point
to give you the
over, and you think this is great, and then they dunk it off the crossbar because the Lego store was closed. Wow. So the under came home.
Question.
Yes.
Do you ever put a Lego set together twice?
You don't understand how my world lives.
I'm afraid to know.
Because once we have so many Legos that once a set is assembled, it then starts getting played with. And once it starts getting played with, it begins getting modded out and then destroyed. And then all the pieces get commingled with all the other 20s of thousands of pieces, which we have in our Lego room. We have a room of the house devoted to it. It's called the Lego room.
Mm-hmm.
And picking out individual pieces from these bins upon bins upon bins of Legos is an impossibility. I would sooner just buy the set again rather than trying to reassemble, which is something I have done.
Wouldn't that provide lots of busy time?
Hunting down the
pieces?
Your children are too young for you to understand that there is a threshold for that type of pain and concentration for a child. And it stops way short.
Okay.
of this.
So basically what you're saying is like the Colosseum, that over time it just starts to erode.
Yes.
And people are using it for other things because that's what they did with the blocks. Yes.
Now, what you guys have not asked about is...
I did ask. I asked before the show. Have you
bought... Off air, that's right. Okay.
You bought a new watch.
I did not buy it yet.
Oh.
But do you know who I spent a long time emailing back and forth with about it?
Watchy McWatcherson?
Mike Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Because no, he's a watch guy.
Mike,
he's
the watch great guy. Mike yeah, yeah. Murphy yeah. is a huge yeah. watch guy. Absolutely. And he was like, well, I don't know about the Fortis. I've always been a Jaeger Couture guy myself. And so we've been talking about this. And I have some ideas, some thoughts, some plans in the watch. Things are in the works. But I have not made it purchase yet. I did spend a great deal of time while my wife is away looking at YouTube videos from Archie Luxury and the Urban Gentry, who are my two favorite watch video casts. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. you would love Archie
Luxury.
I
zoned out a little bit.
You know what? Before the show, I don't think I knew you were into watches until the show. I don't think so.
I've been into watches since third grade.
Right, and we just never had a watch conversation, because had I known, speaking of Mike Murphy, I remember when I was at the Standard, I had actually invited him, because I couldn't go myself, but I thought of him, because I knew he was into watches, all expenses paid German government trip to the Glashütte factory. In Germany.
Oh, you passed it on to Mike and not me.
Yeah, I did, because I didn't know you were into watches.
What time is it?
Thank you. Glashütte. And I said, I don't think that they make pretty good watches, I think. And Mike, of course, couldn't go because he was very busy.
Nobody went.
Yeah.
So you just found some homeless person on the street and said, that was hey, would you like to go to Germany to the Glashütte factory?
It was Glashütte.
Maybe have a look at the Zins while you're over there.
They might have even done Leica, too, because Leica is the camera. Sorry. Anyway, now I know. I'm sure that invite's coming my way.
Wait, are you a big SLR camera?
SLR.
There was a time in my life.
Yeah.
There was a time.
Question.
Mike Murphy is one of these guys who you could sit and talk to him about watches. You could talk to him about cameras. You could talk to him about shipbuilding. He knows a little bit about everything. And
do you remember where he went to school, too? That's amazing.
Georgetown.
Yeah.
That's back when they used to take people like that to Georgetown.
Yeah.
Not just like doctor's kids.
Well, we got to pour one out for Bradley Cooper. Georgetown alum. Didn't really do anything at the Arsenal.
You know, I'm sure he was fine after... I'm sure the after
party.
Did you see the girl next to him?
Was that
so
his girlfriend
mopey.
Or his wife?
I think it's
because
his
you know everyone's talking about the Lady Gaga Vegas thing, and he comes up there, and you see all the comments. You people, you guys need to belong together. You are made for each other. Right. And thank you, Sonny. And then you see this woman say this in between Bradley and Lady Gaga is this gorgeous, gorgeous woman. I just don't know what
even
the story
prettier
is.
Prettier than Lady Gaga.
She doesn't look like Snoopy. So here's
wow, so mean. That's so much hating here. So much
she's got like floppy dog features. She looks like a very nice puppy.
Sonny, how are you? Have you recovered?
Wait, Vic, how was your weekend first? Since we're gonna talk about
I had one more watch.
I won't have a transition from him.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
I had
happening.
One more watch question.
Yeah,
you didn't get the Black Rebel from Swatch that I sent you. It has so few numbers.
It's like a black hole.
It absorbs all the light. Nothing can escape from it.
What I'm looking at right now, it's so perfect for me, is a chronograph that is the special watch of the Russian space program.
Oh, my God.
Satisfying all the cravings of my commie heart.
So,
well, you know, Russian aviator watches, remember those? That used to be a big thing. And when I was in...
The Russians signed a contract with the Swiss manufacturer.
Interesting.
Do the Swiss make good watches?
They're, you know what? The Swiss obviously are known for their watches. Mm. But I'm a big Japanese watch fan.
Oh.
I like what they do over there in the Orient.
They do a lot of good things.
The Orient?
They do a lot of good things. I have an Orient.
Problematic over here.
I have an Orient. It's the name of the brand. It's a Japanese brand called Orient.
Mm. Wow.
Haven't they thought about how problematic that is? They should probably change it. Mm-hmm.
You know, Baselworld is coming up in just a couple of weeks, guys.
Mm-hmm. So wait,
we're going to do a special show on it.
Is Baselworld different from the Basel Art Festival?
Yeah, I was thinking art. Yeah. And don't they do a Basel in Miami, too? I mean, Basel's traveling, you know?
Yeah, Basel in Miami.
Isn't that B-A-S-I-L?
I don't know,
that
man.
That would be basil.
Yeah, that's a spice.
Herb.
Well, a herb. So this is the Comic-Con of watches.
Oh.
This is the San Diego Comic-Con of watches.
You should go. You should go for the Bulwark. You can just write for them like a special report. You know what? The Rob Report. You got to do the Rob Report.
I don't know what that is.
Now it's like the magazine for rich people. That'll, I bet you they send somebody over there. That's insane. Okay.
Rich people have magazines?
Yeah, still. Sonny, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yes. What's on your mind, I should say, huh?
Did you buy 10 Blu-ray players over the weekend?
I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous. I actually, so the reason JBL asked this is because there was a story out last week or maybe the week before. I think it was out the week before because we were going to talk about it last week. But Samsung is getting out of the Blu-ray manufacturing game, at least in the United States. They're not going to sell any more Blu-rays in the United States, which I find deeply troubling because I am a, you know, I'm the last man on the island waving my flag saying, I need discs. The streaming is no good. I like to own the things because then they can't be taken away from you if they're in some sort of digital cloud, which happens all the time. As Father Harrison,
all the time,
a loyal Sub-Beacon listener, was complaining about how a movie he had watched had disappeared from his iTunes library and it's still there. He can buy it again. But it's, what's the point?
They
if
want
it's just
you
gonna
to.
If it's just going to disappear again.
The end and this, user agreement.
Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second. We'll get to that in 1 second. So I did not buy, I did not run out and buy like 10 Blu-ray players to stock up on. So I have them.
Like the crazy people who went out and bought all the incandescent light bulbs.
Yes, right. I'm not one of, like, I assume you did that. No.
I believe Richard started.
Okay.
But they still sell them, so that's good. I mean,
no.
You know. I'm pretty
you can't
sure
buy them anymore.
They sell them. I read somewhere that they sell them as like heat lamps. They sell incandescent bulbs as
don't
heat.
Don't give it
lamps.
Away, Sonny. Don't tell them.
Okay. To so, get around
go
it.
Go ahead.
Anyway, Samsung, who I would say, along with Sony, make the two best like entry level Blu-ray players in the market, are getting out of the Blu-ray game. And I saw this and I was like, God, I think this means I need to buy a region-free Blu-ray player right now, because if they're going to start phasing all of this out,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I can still get this thing that I need. So mm-hmm. as some of you know, Blu-rays are coded by region. They sell
Vic knows all about that.
They sell movies that you can either watch in Asia, in Europe, or in the Americas, essentially, more or less.
Region one.
I have a fair number of discs that I want to buy that are not region appropriate. So to get around this, they sell region-free Blu-ray players that they're kind of...
How much do they go for these days? I have not priced a region-free Blu-ray player in a long time.
I would say they're roughly they're more expensive than an entry-level Samsung Blu-ray player, but not extravagantly so, like 100, 110 bucks, something like that.
No. Oh,
okay. 120 bucks, maybe. I mean, it depends on which one you get. There are nicer ones, there are less nice ones. But I'm like strongly considering getting one because this is all very disheartening to me. Now, JBL, you have a whole thing on the end user license agreements, which is one of the reasons why
nobody reads them.
Which is
I
one
just,
of the
I
reasons
I gotta get my song. I'm clicking. Okay, I agree.
Which is one of the reasons why people should avoid streaming media and downloads,
except
if,
for podcasts.
If well, I
one
mean,
exception.
Yeah, it's not like those ever disappear. Oh wait,
so first of all,
talk to us, JB.
The quality is better on a Blu-ray.
Oh, there we go.
Like this yes. is, I mean, it's like it's just undeniable. If you, in the same way that if you are in your car and you connect your phone to your stereo system via Bluetooth, mm-hmm. and then you switch mid-song to mm-hmm. the auxiliary input, you will notice an immediate difference, right? Same thing with streaming. These things are not lossless, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and so you get much more robust if you have an actual disc medium. You own the thing. And
yeah.
so
they
you
can't take it
they
away
can't
from you.
Take it away. And this is the problem with capitalism. In capitalism, the people who own the capital never want to give any of the capital to the workers, to the proletariat. They want to keep it. And what they want is they want for you to rent it. And that is what streaming is. That's what all of the streaming is. They're saying you don't own this copy of Black Panther, which you've just purchased from Lord Bezos. You own the right to watch Lord Bezos's thing. until he changes the terms of your agreement. Mm-hmm. And they can...
I am altering the agreement.
Pray I do
and
not
alter
it further.
Yeah, this is bad. It and is it's bad. Always been
well,
bad.
This is
the DivX. You remember DivX?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Right? And so DivX fought DVD when we went from tapes to DVD.
Don't forget
format.
Laserdiscs.
And, yeah, Laserdisc. You know, Chris Wershoven had a Laserdisc player.
My dad.
In his room. That's how rich he was. Anyway, so the DivX model was that you were going to get the discs for like $4, but then the DivX player was going to be connected via modem to the DivX mothership, and you were going to pay for every time you watched it. Mm-hmm. And it failed because this isn't Europe, and people don't work like that. People want to own the things they own. But the only reason DivX existed was because that's really what the content people wanted. They wanted to be renting their content to you, not selling it. And they have now finally found a way to do it.
Basically,
and the way through to do that is streaming.
The studios want to treat the end user, us, the consumer, like they treat the theaters.
Yes.
So when I remember a few last year when I interviewed somebody at Warner Brothers about IMAX and, you know, kind of. Whatever. I was interviewing somebody at Warner Brothers Distribution, and I was like, you know, so, you know, when theaters play your movies, or, you know, when theaters rent your movies, and they're like, well, they're actually renting a license to show the movie. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, guy. But like, that is literally what they're trying to do with consumers. And it's bad. Look, I'm not, I'm pretty far to the right of JVL on the capitalism versus communism issue, JBL being a Soviet apparatchik.
I don't even want to know who you're supporting in 2020.
Thomas,
I don't want to know.
Is underlong. My co-pilot.
But I am about to the point where I think it is time for some sort of... Look, if we can get AOC to do a consumer bill of rights...
Oh, she'll get everybody
on the on digital media, I think it would be totally worth it. And I think it would be good. I think it would be, you know... And it's not just movies, of course. This happens with music. This happens with books. I remember, very ironically, there was a story about, was it 1984, that people had downloaded to their Kindles. And it was essentially a bootleg copy of 1984. It was not supposed to be in the Kindle store. It was not you know, licensed by whoever. So Amazon went in and deleted the book from people's Kindles, and people were upset. People were very upset, and I think for good reason. I mean, look, I understand the idea that you shouldn't be able to buy something that is stolen, and that is essentially what was happening. Like, you shouldn't be able to buy stolen goods. But at the same time, Amazon shouldn't be selling it to you.
It's even like this with devices. So you don't really own your iPhone in any meaningful way, right? So you buy yourself an iPhone.
Physically.
And
shut it down, right?
there are things that if you go and tamper with pieces of the operating system or whatnot, that the next time you go and do an upload, your phone will be bricked.
Ugh.
It'll just turn into a brick because you have, and the Apple's response is you violated the end user agreement.
Right. Yep.
The whole idea of the end user agreement, I find astonishing, and I can't believe that it actually holds up in court.
Mm-hmm.
So the end user agreement is a contract that the seller creates with the buyer, which says that you are purchasing this thing, but you are purchasing it only to use it by the very specific terms that we will set out for you. And I don't understand how that works. Like, do you own the thing or do you not? Because otherwise, all you're doing is renting it with terms of according to a license.
Right. But this is right up Kate's alley, because she'll still go to Target and buy the DVDs, you know, and rather than rely on streaming, because it's not reliable. And the other problem
she buys DVDs and not Blu-rays.
Well, yeah, Blu-rays. I just call them DVDs generically, but it's got the blue.
They're all the same.
Yeah, they've got the thing in there. It's a blue. The thing is blue. The jewel case is blue.
I mean, I am at the point now where I think that I will probably never buy a 4K player, just because with the way it's going away. What's the point? What's the point going to be?
Right.
I don't know. I'm actually kind of sad about this, because as you know, I built like mountains of bookshelves in my house for not
DVDs.
Only the books, but also the DVDs and
one
Blu-rays.
One day they'll all be gone. And the same thing you mentioned with iTunes, because, you know, if you transfer stuff like from one laptop, you get a new laptop. Sometimes all that stuff comes over. I've lost things in the process. All the stuff I downloaded from LimeWire and Maxter is gone.
LimeWire.
LimeWire. That's just so unfair. And stuff you can't find anywhere anymore. Especially, you know, there was great stuff.
You're talking about music.
Music.
You're talking about like old Bruce Springsteen concerts,
all
right?
Old stuff. Like, yeah. Bootlegs, stuff that people just put up there, man, because that was like, there was a free time. People just throwed stuff up there on the internet, and it would take me like 40 minutes to download. You know,
I will say that.
It's gone. It's all gone. So anyone
five
listening,
minutes later, you were done with it.
The government's. Oh, thank you. Yes.
I will say that this is the response.
Come on.
The response of the studios to this move to streaming and digital only is in part because of the rampant piracy and the, mm-hmm. you know, they're trying to claw back anything that they can. So
yeah. Well, there you go.
I blame everyone for this. Mm, okay. I am the only victimless. I am the only blameless person here. I'm the victim,
as usual.
I'm the victim. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lose something I love because everybody else is a bag of.
Question. Okay,
thank you.
Question, Sonny.
Yeah.
So last week we didn't have a show because the snow interfered with my ability to get in here, but also mm-hmm. to see a movie.
Yes, that's right.
And I contemplated going and torrenting a copy of the movie, and mm-hmm. I was going to offset that by buying a ticket and then just not using it. Mm-hmm. If I had gone and gotten myself a pirated from the Pirate Bay, or I'm sure Pirate Bay doesn't exist anymore, but from one of the torrents, a copy of a movie that is mm-hmm. in theaters to watch in my home, but I offset it by buying a physical ticket using my phone uh-huh. and that, but it didn't go.
A moral
would
offset,
that be okay?
You're asking about moral offsets.
Yes, I'm asking you and your as an advocate of the content creators.
I would say that is less objectionable than torrenting it and not buying a ticket.
It's
still objectionable because you are still contributing to the marketplace where this sort of thing is an effective mm-hmm. mode of mm-hmm. transmitting. Yes. Illicit materials.
What if I bought two tickets and didn't use them?
Well, it's the same problem. I mean,
now I'm compensating the theater goers even more. Now what I'm saying is I understand that what I'm doing is wrong, so right. I would like to pay you a premium.
Yeah. Well, if the distributors wanted you to be able to pay a premium to watch a movie in your home, they would offer that service. They are still the content owners, and they still should have some say over how you experience it.
Fair enough. I'll tell you what else I would pay premium for. I'd pay a premium to never have to see the trailer for Us ever again. If there was an upgrade for the ticket and it said, for an extra $5, we won't show the trailer for Us.
That's it. You're raising your
take
hand.
Take my money.
I was talking to Sonny about this because what movies are coming up, and he mentions Us, and he goes, well, you know, JVL's not going to see that movie. The trailer was too much?
So,
the trailer was too much for you.
That is a scary effing movie.
You know what, though? Honestly, I still...
No, am I wrong?
Like, I would
still... It looks terrifying.
The
it looks terrifying.
Weird.
No, it looks terrifying. Yes. Everything about it looks
Rorschach
terrifying.
Mask.
I don't Everything know. About it looks
Honestly,
scary.
Honestly, if you had a choice, you had to see one movie, Pet Sematary or Us.
Us.
Yeah, me I would too. Definitely I watch definitely it. Watch Us.
Pet Sematary. The problem with Pet Sematary is we're getting way off topic here. I read Pet Sematary for the first time about 2 years ago when my daughter was like one and a half or two.
I
just like
choice.
Just starting to like amble around the house, and I was like, yeah, sure, this is a good time to read Pet Sematary about the child who wanders into the street and gets swacked by a
18-wheeler.
18-wheeler by a big rig. Anyway. the trailer for Us is terrifying.
It really is. It's disturbing. But he's pretty good stuff. Pretty good. He must know what he's doing.
Do you think Key ever gets mad that Peele is now the senior partner in Key and Peele?
Well, Key's a really good actor, though.
He's an okay actor.
I think he's pretty great.
I think he's
every time I see him in something.
I think he's like a barely above replacement comic component to any.
No, I think he could do just about anything. I would put him in anything.
You put him in anything?
He's a great screen presence.
One thing we forgot to mention in last Monday on Monday's Oscar episode.
Yeah, 3 days ago.
So, Vic, were you actually watching the Oscars?
Yes, most of it.
Did you see the commercial for the new Scorsese movie?
No, I saw the ones. Well, I know I saw the Rolex commercials with Scorsese and James Cameron.
No, so there's a commercial for the Scorsese movie that's coming out on Netflix. What's it called? The House Painter or something?
Oh no, I didn't see it.
Or whatever it's called. I can't remember. But the commercial was just a series of title cards, like from the director Martin Scorsese, re-teaming with blah, blah. And it's just like words against a black screen. It's obvious that they don't have any usable footage from this film yet. And it, like, because they're doing all this de-aging stuff. And is this an intentional thing where they're going to surprise us with the impressiveness of the effects?
It's because they don't
know. Or is it because they just don't have anything to show us yet?
Yeah. So it was the latter.
I think it's the latter.
All right. No, I didn't. I don't know. Maybe I had temporarily blacked out because I'm on this diet, you know, as I'm getting ready for my blood test coming up at the end of the week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm, you know, even today, you could tell. I mean, on the Monday episode, and now I'm a little off because I'm trying to cut back on the calories. Last night, I just had a calzone for
the
dinner.
Irishman. I'm sorry. The Irishman.
$140 million budget Netflix has given him.
Yeah.
$140 million for a streaming movie.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Good luck.
That's a lot. So, Vic, yeah, when is it? I'm sorry. I'm blacking out again. Friday morning. And so, I mean, I don't even know if I can make it to that.
How's your gout?
I thought I felt a twinge the other day. We had gone out to dinner just to be friendly. I had a beer. You're never, you know, gout sufferers should always stay away from beer or a lot of beer. And so I worried about the twinge, but I'm fine. And I think I'm being, you know, hydrating whenever you using the bathroom is good, you know, and flush out the system, and exercise is good. But but the other day I'm trying to do sort of more RG diet.
Oh, it's not even Lent.
It's not even Lent.
So what will you give up for Lent then?
Well, I usually give up playing Civilization for Lent, but we'll talk to that next week's episode. But for the RG, for example, over the weekend I had one slice of pizza instead of two.
Reduced gluttony.
That's
look at that.
And but I just,
where'd you get the pizza from?
The Italian store down the street. After we went bowling with my son for
did
his
you go
birthday
in there and
to
go,
his
hey,
buddies.
Hey,
how about that green book?
Ooh.
Mingya.
Maroon.
I got something for you, guts. Okay, so but I'm just focusing on.
What would happen if you walked into the Italian store and talked like that?
Well, I don't know, because how many of the people at the Italian store are actually Italian? It's Arlington. You know, it's not Jersey. In Jersey is a whole different scene. Jersey, every other block, there's an Italian store or a Chinese restaurant.
And the people talk that way in the Jersey Italian store.
That's right.
But here.
Here it's different. Here it's different. There's a couple generations later. But yeah, I have friends up there whose mothers will still call me, and fathers will still call me Victor. You know, hey, Victor. So,
Christopher.
So, anyway,
that's a Sopranos reference.
That's a great Sopranos. That's a great Sopranos reference. I'm losing focus here.
We're all over the place.
So, anyway, I'm just hoping for. And once I have the blood test coming up, and then the following Tuesday is the meeting with the doctor to discuss the results. But not only that, but they weigh you at that. So I really have to keep down the weight. But fittingly, it's going to be on Tuesday, Fat Tuesday. So I have the morning meeting, and after that, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be like martinis and steak and calf's liver and fried chicken.
So it's going to be like a Friday
lunch.
Like
a normal Friday for me from a couple of weeks ago, but not in the last week.
Because what matters to your health is not how you're actually doing, but how you present for 5 minutes at the doctor's office.
Yes, JVL. And after that,
pray for his children.
After that, I'm just going to indulge in all of my forbidden pleasures. Speaking of which, over the weekend, I don't even know why that just happened. Why is that a transition? It's a weird transition. Over the weekend, Alita Battle Angel fell to second place with 12 million because I didn't know how to transition to How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. But that came in first place with $55.5 million. And that's a two-day. This is crazy. And the Lego Movie 2 stayed in third place with $10 million. Box office thoughts. It hasn't been a good 2 weeks for Alita, has it?
No. We'll talk more about Alita in a bit.
What happened?
I'd like to highlight fighting with my family. Are we going to talk about this next week, maybe?
I'm just curious.
It's a wrestling movie.
I felt like I saw the whole movie watching the trailer. That's another one where it's like they show you, I wonder if the brother's going to get in. Oh, I guess he doesn't. Okay.
Here's why I find the movie interesting.
I read your review.
Maybe we won't. Yeah, thank you. You edited it. Thank you.
What's the Venn diagram on those two statements?
well, there's, you know what what glasses look like? Kind of like that. So maybe we don't have to do a whole episode on it. I find it interesting, not so much as like a piece of storytelling or a piece of filmmaking, because it's pretty mediocre on all those fronts. It's like a very standard underdog story. It is totally acceptably directed by Stephen Merchant, who I think is actually deeply funny. I like Stephen Merchant a lot. His shows great. With Ricky Gervais are all fantastic. And he's the credited director on, I think, all of those shows, on the British Extras and on British The Office Extras and the other things he has done with Gervais. So I like Stephen Merchant a lot. He's in the film very briefly, but it is it's about the WWE diva Paige, who comes from nowhere in England, a family of wrestlers, and they have some little podunk league in Norwich, and she comes to join the NXT program, and it's a big deal for them, obviously. But her brother wanted to be a wrestler, and now he'll never be a wrestler. And then she goes out and defeats the diva champion, AJ Lee. Remember AJ Lee?
I remember AJ.
To strip her of her title that she had held for 500 million days or whatever. I somehow knew this whole story, even though I stopped watching wrestling years ago. The film is fine. It's totally acceptable. The Rock gets top billing as star, even though he's in the film for about 5 minutes total, maybe 10. And he also is the top line producer. This is a Rock passion project. And what's interesting about the film is that it is not a particularly grand piece of cinema, but it is a very real effort at myth making and trying to rejigger this idea of wrestling in the public consciousness. So like when people think about wrestling, they think about old wrestlers dying from steroid use,
Darren Aronofsky.
They think of like trashy soap opera for dudes. They think of scantily clad women,
terrible endings,
Chris Benoit, et cetera, Hulk Hogan, even right. Mm-hmm. And this movie is an effort to recast wrestling as this thing that gets kids out of the projects, as this thing that gets people out of life of crime, as this thing that brings families together and gives them purpose and meaning. And The Rock plays this kind of saintly figure, giving all of these opportunities and chances to people. And I have never been more convinced in my life that The Rock is running for office than when I was watching this film. Because it is 100%, it's 100% a piece of like personal and professional mythologizing. So that's why I find it interesting, and I'd be curious to get your take on it. Because again, this is a WWE Studios film. This is an $11 million infomercial for WWE and all the good they do in the world. And all of the characters are they're either portrayed at first as like heartless or mean, but they all have really good reasons for doing what they do. Mm-hmm. They have these WWE divas who are like clearly ex strippers or whatever, and like they're there and they're like
fitness
making
instructors.
Fun of, and Paige is like they're making fun of me, and they're like, no, we're not, we're talking about how much she loves her daughter and wants to do this so she can provide a life for her child. And it's like every time you think somebody is bad, they're good. Every time you think somebody is is conspicuously absent from this film is Vince McMahon. Totally absent.
Is he in the credits at all?
I didn't sit through the whole.
But he's not.
No. He is nowhere to be seen on screen. And there's even a moment in the film where it would actually make a lot of sense for him to be there. Paige is at WrestleMania. She's given this chance to go do the WWE, fight, whatever. It's like a shadowy skybox at WrestleMania. And there's a guy out. There's like a big beefy security guard out front. I'm like, okay, this is where Vince McMahon's going to be like, no, you're going to go out there and but no, it's The Rock again. The Rock just dispensing all of these career opportunities. Anyway, I find the whole thing very fascinating, again, as a piece of corporate mythologizing more than anything else.
Okay, I'm into it.
So he's running for president.
We don't have to talk about it. I've said everything I want to say about it. Something, when it's on cable, when it's on BitTorrent in the Pirate Bay.
Oh, good.
Check it out.
Good. You did see Alita, yes, JVL?
I saw it. Did anyone else see it?
I saw it.
Did anyone else see it?
Alita, Battle Angel, is the titular story of a 26th century budding hunter warrior. Or at least she wants to be a hunter warrior. She's got an unfair advantage, though. Martian technology. Her fellow bounty hunters don't think that's legal. I say she's barely legal. But allow me to give a full-throated defense of Alita, or should I say Lolita?
FBI, this is a raid. I'm serving an arrest warrant for the Eastern District of Virginia for first-degree perversion.
Okay, what's happening here?
Mr.
What is this?
Gene, come ow,
that's, don't take my phone.
Wow. That was, I did not see that coming today.
JVille, UK?
Is he going to be okay?
I told you guys to stop joking about this sort of thing on text message. How do you think they found out about it?
Will that be federal pound me in the
Okay, come on.
Or white collar prison.
Oh.
Let me just say that...
poor Gene.
Gene has been advised by his counsel not to continue the review, so we'll just move on.
I hope to see him again someday.
I just hope I get my phone back. I don't know.
That's the way you write out a character.
Yeah.
Sonny, how about a real review?
All right. Alita, Battle Angel is from the director Robert Rodriguez, who we know as the mind behind Spy Kids, but also Sin City and El Mariachi and all sorts of stuff. Super versatile. Love Robert Rodriguez. And producer James Cameron. This has been a James Cameron passion project for like a decade. I remember buying shares of Alita Battle Angel on the Hollywood Stock Exchange like 10 years ago.
The Hollywood Stock Exchange.
Remember HSX?
It still exists,
oh, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Really? Oh, yeah.
I
think I've still got shares of Alita in my portfolio.
I was in the top 100 on that at one point in time.
Look at that. So anyway, James Cameron passion project. It is about a female cyborg who was found in a trash dump by Christoph Waltz. He puts her back together and turns out she's some sort of super battle droid thing. And she needs to learn how to be a real girl. She needs to learn how to have emotions and have a life. She wants to regain her memories. She wants to learn what it's like to live and love and go on.
That was so nice.
I enjoyed this movie. I don't love it because it has this kind of shoehorned in.
Are you kidding me?
Love story. That is like the hallmark of every James Cameron movie, and it doesn't really work here. But I quite enjoyed all of the action sequences. I quite enjoyed all of the fights. I liked the world building. I liked this world that they're living in. And I enjoyed it. I had a good time in the theater.
Okay, thank you, Sonny. I wanted to share further thoughts, but I need to collect myself and calm down. In the meantime, JVL.
I need to calm down. This is your greatest troll job ever.
What are you talking about?
I can't believe we'll get to that. So our friends at Calm.com are back to sponsor us again, which is wonderful. Calm.com, that's Calm.com. Calm.com is an app for your phone, and it gives you an enormous library of guided meditations and sleep stories. I actually tried one of the guided meditations over the last week when I was having a particularly awesome moment with Flash and G-Money, and it helped. It was great. But what we really used were the sleep stories. The sleep stories are what I use to put my children to bed every single night. We've been using them for years at this point. We pay for it full freight. I'm like the president of the Calm.com fan club. Allow me to play for you, boys. The story my girls were listening to most over the last 10 days. This is The 17th Princess, which is being narrated by Stephen Lyons.
Good evening. My name's Stephen. And tonight's story is a fairy. The 17th Princess, written by Chris Atkinson.
So good.
What a deep bass.
So good. And just a little bit of a hint of an accent. And so with the sleep stories, the library is always growing. They're adding new ones constantly. They have these beautiful voices. People who are narrating, a lot of them are actors. The app is so simple that your kids can even work it themselves. So we have for my girls have the Calm app on their little iPods that they use so that they can set up their own sleep stories. Even my niece, who is 18, no, I guess she's now 2.5 now. She sets up and chooses her own. She actually is super into the 17th Princess right now, too. And it's amazing. It is like Benadryl for your children. And I like to, I find myself frequently choosing when they ask me to be the DJ, be the sleep story DJ. I will choose like by length because they're all identified, you know, it tells you this one's 12 minutes, this one's 25 minutes. And so if I think they're especially sort of a little bit wound up and I don't want them to be, I will choose a longer sleep story for them. They're amazing. They put the kids to bed. My girls can't sleep without them. It is, if you have kids and your kids are not the world's best sleepers, you should have Calm.com. Right now, Subbeacon listeners are going to get 25% off of the Calm Premium subscription. You just go to Calm.com/Subbeacon. That's CALM.com/Subbeacon. It gets you unlimited access to all of their content. It's absolutely worth it. It would be worth it without the discount. It would be worth it at twice the price. So if you've got kids, go do it. Again, that's calm.com/subbeacon and get your kids to sleep.
Thank you, JVL. So, Sonny, I can tell JVL was curious about this. You liked it, but you didn't love it.
Yeah, I liked it, but I didn't love it. My problem with it is that it sets up this whole world. It sets up this sequel that we'll never see because the movie is kind of tanking.
It's like the end of Flash Gordon. JVL, what did you think about the movie?
Terminator Jailbait is a film from Roger Rodriguez. It's terrible. It's not a movie.
What do you mean it's not a movie?
It's not a movie.
Well, I thought you were going to say you loved it. I wasn't sure where you were going with that. Okay.
I don't want to disappoint you, Vic, but don't go Googling Rosa Salazar. She doesn't look like Alita. You know, the movies have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah.
This movie has a beginning and a middle, and then it ends. There is no end to the story.
Agreed.
The central conflicts of this movie are, one, she has to understand who she is. Two, she has to get into the Sky City or whatever it's called. And three, Zala. She has to defeat Nova. Or, right, is that what the Sky City bad guy is? Yep. Nova. Those are the three central conflicts. None of those are resolved by the end of this movie.
Yes.
Instead, we devolve into this weird rollerball type thing.
Best stuff in the
Motorball,
movie.
Which doesn't make any sense. It is a game in which people are allowed to do anything they want. They can just kill each other while they're playing the game.
Yeah. It's like gladiatorial combat.
Well, except...
Or like the one in Harry Potter. What's it called?
Quidditch?
Quidditch, sorry.
It's nothing like that.
I can't remember names. I'm blacking out over here.
Except that it doesn't make any sense because people are trying to play the game instead of just killing each other. If there are no rules, then it should be gladiatorial combat. Everyone should just kill each other, and then you like pick up the ball and put it in the hoop or whatnot. But instead, you have like half of the players treating it as if it's a roller derby and the other half treating it as if it's the battle royale or something.
Well, I mean, it's a game of skill. you have to figure out which tack you want to take.
None of this makes any sense.
Murder tack or
the character of Alita does not make any sense. Why is she in love with this guy, Hugo? Hugo is a
very annoying.
But the problem is it undercuts her as a badass, right? Because she's an idiot. And it even, like, again, just as a piece of narration, it doesn't work. So he is taking over cyborgs and stripping them for parts on the side, and then she finds out that this is his shadow life, but he says he feels bad about it, and she forgives him, and then he becomes a cyborg. And lost in all this is that he has sold her out to one of the villains, and she never learns about that. So, like, you know, he does this redemption arc, but it's only for, like, the least bad thing he did, not the most bad thing. Nothing pays off. This is not a movie.
Also, the recovery time for Hugo to go from human to cyborg, and next thing you know, he's scaling up that thing. Like,
nothing,
that was quick.
Nothing in it is earned. Even from its own... Even if you just say, oh, well, it's just the first part in a series, you can't expect it to tell a coherent story with a beginning, middle, and end. Like, so Jennifer Connelly's character goes from this, like, villain ice queen to a chastened mother figure. How? Why? Nothing is earned. Jennifer Connelly's character literally just shows up.
Just
like, she's mean and evil and wearing all this weird but kind of awesome 27th century lingerie. And then she shows up somehow at a secret meeting in a church to see Alita and Hugo. And this then...
Yeah.
You're trolling me with this thing that you're like it.
No,
right?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Go ahead, Vic.
I thought it was fine. I'm like, well, what's going to happen? Do I really want to know what's going to happen in the end? Will there be a sequel? It was okay. And then you find out the villain is Ed Norton. I'm like, oh, sign me up. That was wild.
Well, no,
wasn't that wild?
You know,
wasn't you like blown away? It was Ed Norton.
You know who he looks like?
It's a good thing he took the glass off. He looks like Dana Carvey.
You know who he looks like is James Cameron.
It was... Yeah,
it looks like James Cameron looking down from his Sky City at his playthings.
It's basically him.
No, I don't disagree with anything that you just said, JVL. Everything that you said is totally right. It's a bit of a sloppy piece of storytelling. As spectacle, I thought it was one of the best put together films that I have seen in some time. I saw it in 3D. I don't know if you saw it in 3D.
I did not.
So I saw it in 3D, and the 3D effect is fine. But the thing that you have to remember is that because it is Robert Rodriguez and because it is James Cameron, it is filmed specifically with 3D in mind. Oh. And even if you don't want to watch the 3D, which I don't think it's necessary. I don't think the 3D added that much to it. What it means is that they have filmed it in a very exacting and very specific sort of way where shots are established. It's not this shaky handheld thrown together in the editing bay crap that you get all the time. It is a very well thought out and filmed and executed series of set pieces. And I always really appreciate that. That is like the thing that I like the most about these sorts of movies, is that it is thoughtfully put together in the execution phase. Now, look, I agree that the love story, which again, this is like a James Cameron thing. If you go look through all his movies, it's all about the love story. And this is his big...
The only love story he ever gets right? True Lies. Husband and wife.
It's a great one.
Yeah, basically.
It's a great one.
It's a great one. The husband and wife.
Also Aliens for the little girl, but... You know, protecting Newt, but this is James Cameron's biggest innovation. It doesn't have anything to do with 3D or filming in Avatar and all that. It has to do with this idea that here's how you get men and women into a theater: is that you give them action and you give them love and you shove it together, and you make it kiss, you make it make out.
That was good.
And then that's why he is a very good businessman. Now, again, I don't think it works at all in this film because I don't think Salazar and Hugo have any sort of chemistry at all. Nothing about their relationship makes any sense. Like you say, it's totally unearned. You could have gotten rid of all that and instead focused on literally anything else. Jennifer Connelly. Give Jennifer Connelly a real character arc.
More Doc Ito. Monster hunting with Doc Ito.
Yeah, totally. That would be great. Christoph Waltz is very good in this movie.
Christoph Waltz is really good in everything.
Okay, Igor.
I thought that was pretty good.
Thank you. That's his Austrian accent.
We haven't really discussed the fact that Christoph Waltz wields a rocket powered sledgehammer.
It's very lightweight.
It's not rocket powered. It has a torch on the side of it. It's a sledgehammer.
It's a jet propulsion. Hammer.
How is it that he, as a fully human guy, is able to function as a hunter warrior?
Well, because he's got that hammer with the jet engine on the back of it.
On the one hand, on the other, so the problems I had was this movie reminded me a lot visually of Ready Player One. It looked like it. Also, the villain Gruishka reminded me of I-Rock. This very large.
Yeah.
Large-headed, large-bodied sort of villain. I felt sympathy. I love Gruishka. Voiced by the great Jackie Earle Haley. Mm-hmm. I love that guy. He was a great child actor.
Rorschach.
Yes. And so that part I thought was weird. However, in defense of Alita, two things. One, as you mentioned, Rosa Salazar is like over 30 years old. And number two, Alita's character is over 300 years old, okay? So she's old.
You're not into that.
I'm just saying. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a 300-year-old...
woman.
If loving a 300-year-old half-Martian is wrong, then there you go.
You know, Sonny, you said you liked the world building.
Yes. I like it. I like this trash city that they live in.
I wanted to like the world building, because world building is very important to me. But I thought this was incredibly sloppy. None of it makes sense. The economics of it, in a world where cyborgs are everywhere, cyborgs would be the overclass, not the underclass. And here it's the opposite, where the cyborgs are sort of the people who are street criminals or bounty hunters, and the humans are the people who are scientists and the upper, I mean, cyborgs are looked down upon as being sort of monsters. Why would that be? It should be, economically, it should be much more expensive to be a cyborg, right? And you can do all the things that the humans can't do. And so this was a central problem.
Nobody
with
wants to
the
look
world
like a monster,
building.
JBL. Nobody wants to be turned into a monster just because it gives you some blades for hands or whatever. I loved all the little hunter warrior guys in that bar, like the guy with the dog pack.
Yeah, I loved them, except that none of them then did anything.
Well, they had that great fight.
But the characters, so they introduce all these characters. Yeah. Literally, they take 30 seconds of screen time where they hand, that's screw job, and that's dog handler man.
Yeah.
And so they introduce all these people, and then none of them do anything.
Then they fight. I don't understand what more you want.
Well, it's interesting. I actually went to the theater. I brought my son because I thought he might like it. He didn't like it. I mean, I think he was like, he got a shrug. He was also like, Dad, why are you wearing a trench coat? You know, so like, and sunglasses. Well, that's weird, too. But no, he was nonplussed. I think that would be the JVL word for it, is nonplussed. But I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. But as you know, and you've talked about this before, anime does not do too well.
This is not
in
anime,
the box
it's
office.
Manga.
Oh, is it?
This is like another discussion we should have.
Manga
so this
versus
is from
anime. Manga.
This is from a manga classic. And I consume a lot of comic books. And I consume a lot of comic books in all sorts of genres. I love the superhero stuff. I love indie books. I love straight graphic novels, some of which are done now by like just sort of independent artists like Killing and Dying or comedians. I have never gotten the manga thing. I've tried a couple times. It's black and white. The shapes are weird. You've got to read them from back to
front.
What's
the difference?
Like Hebrew books.
What's the difference?
I don't understand the question.
Of anime versus manga.
Anime is like
cartoons.
Anime is cartoons. And manga is comic books.
Manga is a comic book.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes a manga comic book will be adapted into an anime cartoon.
Yes,
like,
yes.
For instance, Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Was a comic book first, and then it became a TV show.
Are either of you... So, Victorina, you're not a manga guy.
No.
Sonny, are you?
No, I read Akira when they re-released... They released Akira in English, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. I bought that set, and I was like, yeah, this is fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do much
for me.
And
I don't know why, because I love Japanese stuff. I love Japanese watches.
I love anime.
Star Blazers.
I like anime a lot. Do you
what
like
was
anime?
Ghost in the Shell?
So, Ghost in the Shell is...
it was manga and then anime, right?
Yes. Mm. And Ghost in the Shell, I loved. This struck me as just poor man's Ghost in the Shell all over, right? I mean, Ghost in the Shell, all of us really enjoyed that, right? Oh, come on. Don't go giving me the, they're basically the same.
Yeah. No, I think Ghost in the Shell is probably better. I think Ghost in the Shell is probably better.
Better.
Ghost in the Shell is better because it keeps the, like, love story stuff very much on the back burner, right? It's not until the end that you find out that... ScarJo and Michael Pitt were like into each other in the before time, in the long, long ago.
That's not the only reason that it's better, Sonny.
It's among the reasons.
Oh my God!
I mean, the problem you like the world building. The world building is fine, but it's basically just a Blade Runner knockoff.
Okay.
No, it's talking back to Blade Runner.
It's just Blade Runner, but newer Blade Runner.
I have a question for both of you.
Yes, JVL.
There is a long tradition of mythical female warriors that stretches from comic books through pop culture, through manga and anime, and even video games, from Wonder Woman to Red Sonja to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Chun-Li, Forever Carlisle, the Dead or Alive Girls in Tekken and Soul Calibur, Mortal Kombat, and Alita stands in this line. Is that exploitive or progressive?
I don't understand the question. I don't understand the question.
What do you mean you don't understand the question?
I don't understand. Are you asking if using women as action heroes is exploitative?
Or throwing Alita into the mix?
Or progressive?
No, in the way that it has been done.
Oh.
Is it exploitive or progressive?
Do you mean because they are...
So like, is Red Sonja exploitive or progressive?
It depends. When is that new Red Sonja movie going to come out? That was supposed to be coming out soon. And
is Alita exploitive or progressive?
Say his name. Say his name.
It's on the back burner right now.
Is Alita I think it's a false choice. I don't think it has to be.
It doesn't have to be either. You could say neither.
I think it's probably, I mean, I would say that most of these are probably neither. Would you say that Underworld, for instance, is exploitive or progressive? I mean, you've got all of the, you've got Kate Beckinsale in hot leather, but also
Beckinsale would say it is progressive.
But they have to say it's progressive because, I don't think it has to be, you know, one thing or the, like, is Captain Marvel?
Well, we'll find out.
Captain Marvel is progressive.
Very progressive.
Can we take a brief detour for Captain Marvel for 5 seconds? Did you see the story about how Brie Larson was so upset about the way that so many entertainment reporters are white and male? Notice she didn't say straight. That she decided to demand that she demanded a specific reporter be assigned to write the profile of her for whatever, I forget.
Marie Claire or something.
Right. I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean.
So this was positioned as, this is an amazing story of how great she is. And I look at this.
I look at it as a journalism ethics.
Journalism ethics thing. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Marie Claire assented to use the writer to write the profile that the subject of the profile demanded. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm sure who she chose, she doesn't know well and will be tough.
Yeah. I mean, this gets back into the real problem that celebrity journalism is not real journalism. It's not. This is all a series of
back-scratching. But everybody pretends that this is the problem.
It's a series of back-scratching.
Deals. It is journalism.
And this is why Bryan Singer, for instance, was able to kill a completely vetted story in Esquire and The Atlantic ran it, because The Atlantic is real journalism and Esquire is celebrity journalism. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Have you read the Columbia Journalism Review behind the scenes on this?
No, I haven't. I just saw it yesterday.
Oh, it's so good.
I just saw it yesterday.
The two writers name names.
Oh, first. Really?
Gosh, that's good.
That's great.
It's pretty awesome.
That's great. That's great, because some hack from Esquire was crapping on the Free Beacon the other day. Like, oh... Not expected.
No. Charles Pierce.
Yeah, who do you think it was? the only person you can name at Esquire. But you know, I don't think he has much of a leg to stand on when it comes to journalistic ethics at the moment. Right. We need a Captain Marvel gate, gamer gate, but for Captain Marvel. It's about ethics and celebrity journalism.
There you go. The real problem. Do we have any other thoughts on Alita?
I just think it's great, and I'm sad that we're not going to see a sequel. Hopefully, maybe it'll make like $300 million in China.
Yeah.
And
Vic,
save,
were you really?
Save it.
I was expecting more from you. You didn't like it. You didn't.
No, I thought it was fine.
Scale of 1 to 10. How hot do you find Alita?
Question.
Don't you know Vic, what just happened? Do you realize what just happened in this studio?
They'll never know it's you.
Question, Vic.
Sonny.
Vic. Question.
Sonny.
Did you lose interest in the movie when she got her other body?
The new body? No. That's when she becomes... That's when it becomes legit.
The proportions expanded.
No. You guys are sick. No. Not at all. I'm not even answering that. I'm like, you know what? Like Ricky Martin...
I can see some flashing lights in the background, by the way. They're coming back.
Like, question. Remember when Barbara Walters asked Ricky Martin if he was gay, and Ricky Martin said, I'm not going to dignify that question.
Question.
I'm not going to dignify your question.
Okay.
Will Kate be dressing up as a leader for Halloween?
Okay. Can we move on? Notice
he didn't answer.
Can we move on? I'm just going to say this on a completely unrelated note. a completely unrelated note. Did anyone read the story? It was maybe the New York Post about the sex bot with Scarlett Johansson's face.
No.
Very disturbing. Check it out.
What?
Yes. It's no, and it's like this.
Speaking
they look
of Ghost
real.
In the Shell,
no, I mean, yes, but you could check it out. It's on the internet. Just type it in. Just be careful, because I know sometimes you think that cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You may not think that, you know, no one looks at your data or that hackers can't grab your passwords or credit card details, but you'd be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. That's why I decided to take action to protect myself from cyber criminals. I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. Using ExpressVPN, I can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having my personal data stolen. For less than $7 a month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I have. And ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/WFB. That's expressvpn.com/WFB for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/WFB to learn more. All right, corrections, additions, anything. I hope this satisfies everybody that we had a nice lengthy episode.
I had a correction.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Correction from our Monday episode. I actually won the Oscar draft by picking 10 winners, which is more than Vic and Sonny combined. Wow. You guys combined for 9 winners.
Wow.
I got 10.
This is very interesting. President Hillary Clinton has a lot of thoughts about this. President Hillary Clinton, who won the popular vote by 3 million votes, but yet did not win the presidency. Democratic nominee in 2008, Hillary Clinton, also has some thoughts on this. After she won all of those primaries and racked up all those votes.
Yeah,
and yet she didn't play by the rules. She didn't win by the rules established. So she lost.
I don't play by your rules, Sonny.
You lost.
I chose to pick winners.
I was
playing a different game.
You lost. That's fine. It's okay. It's like when you didn't pick anything king size in the candy draft. You didn't think outside the box enough. You were stuck in your little...
Anything with chocolate in it. I pick anything with sugar in it.
Anything that comes in a wrapper. Okay. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments. Tweet us at Victorino Mattis, at Sonny Bunch.
At JV Last,
again,
loser of the Oscar draft.
Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. Just type in Subbeacon under podcasts. We are there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time.
I had something happen to me at Alita Battle Angel never happened to me in a movie theater before.
So you think.
Would you care to guess?
Yeah. I'm afraid. Go ahead.
And 4 hours later, it finally went down. So there was a couple there with a child.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A
lot of kids.
I'm guessing 4-year-old child.
There were kids.
Which is fine. I have no problem with that. Midway through the movie, I assume that this child was bored out of her skull. Because she suddenly appeared with a tablet-like device in her hands and began watching a different movie.
No.
With the sound turned all the way up.
Oh.
Here are my thoughts.
No wonder you hated this movie. You had the worst movie experience.
That's terrible. That's just terrible.
It didn't bother me.
Oh, come on.
Didn't bother me. What bothered me is this. If you want to tell me that you have to go see a movie and you don't want to bring your kid, but you got to bring your kid, I say, okay, well, I mean, you should get a babysitter. But then you say, look, I just can't get a sitter. And this movie is so amazing that I have to bring my kid with me to this movie.
So a movie like Alita.
Jurassic Park is unbelievable. The Dunkirk is so, I have to go see The Dark Knight Rises. I have to see the Avengers Infinity War. Everything has been building up. I would say, you know what? I think this is bad parenting, but okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. To do that for Alita Battle Angel?
That's so good. This happened to me for Spectre. This exact thing happened to me for Spectre. Totally crowded theater. I'm sitting with my wife is on my right-hand side. On my left-hand side, there is a mother and a small child, 5 or 6. To see Spectre, the James Bond movie.
Because I'm sure that child is dying to see it.
And 30 minutes into the film, pulls out a handheld video game of some sort and just starts playing it. And do you have like a dad stare? Like where you kind of like squint your eyes at a child and you put the fear of into them?
Mm-hmm. I don't. Do you look like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino?
Kind of. But I just...
Can I see it?
Well, I can't really do it because there's nobody here annoying me enough.
Oh, how about this guy?
I won the Oscar draft.
You didn't, though. That's the thing. It doesn't bother me because it's not true. But I stared at this child until she like shrunk into her chair and pulled the thing next to her chest and like turned away from me. Because I was like, it was insane. It was, I mean, it's like, leave aside the whole bringing your kid to the theater thing. It's just rude to do that.
I'm sure it's fine.